Welcome to the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. This podcast will be a sharing of part of my morning routine as I prepare for the day with the Word of God. We will be partaking of Puritan prayers from the Valley of Vision, each day's morning devotional from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, and we'll be reading from the Legacy Standard Bible, which is the newest and, I believe, the most accurate translation of the Word of God. We will be following a Bible reading calendar that provides for reading the whole Bible in a year that was created by Minister Robert Murray McShane for his congregation back in 1842, and that has been a part of my daily reading for over 6 years now. Good morning and welcome to the Saturday, June 10th episode of the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. I'm Wayne Floyd, your host. The Faith Comes From Hearing podcast is a humble member of the Christian podcast community. You can find us over at christianpodcastcommunity.org. A lot of great listening over there. Definitely worth your while to get on over there and check us out. I would continue to point you at the last two links in our show notes. They are both Give, Send, Go campaigns. The first is for the Vail Valley Baptist Church. We are striving to rapidly pay off our mortgage so that we can shift gears and commence establishment of a Christian classic education-based school to provide a trustworthy alternative within our community. Go and click on the link. It'll provide you a much more thorough description than I just did. And then we would ask three things of you: to pray for us, to prayerfully consider giving to us, and to pass the link along so that others can do the same. For the final link, again, it is also a Give, Send, Go campaign. It is for my brother Nathaniel Jelly and his wife, and their church plant that is up in Alaska. They have a vehicle that serves all of that, and it is broke down, and they need help to get it fixed. Nathaniel, being a church planter, does not draw a salary, so there's not a great income flow there to try to take care of this. So they need about $8,000 to get this fixed. Go ahead and click on the link to get on over there, see what kind of progress they're making. And then we would ask the same thing of you: to pray for them, to prayerfully consider giving to them, and to pass the link along so that others can do the same. All right. Well, with it being Saturday, we're going to go ahead and do our Bible reading. Let's go ahead and open up with the Seventh-day morning prayer. It's called God's Good Pleasure. Let's pray. Sovereign Lord, thy will is supreme in heaven and earth, and all beings are creatures of thy power. Thou art the Father of our spirits. Thy inspiration gives us understanding. Thy providence governs our lives. But, O God, we are sinners in thy sight. Thou hast judged us so, and if we deny it, we make thee a liar. Yet in Christ thou art reconciled to thy rebellious subjects. Give us the ear of faith to hear him, the eye of faith to see him, the hand of faith to receive him, the appetite of faith to feed upon him, that we might find in him light, riches, honor, eternal life. Excuse me. Thou art the inviting one. May we hearken to thee. The almighty instructor, teach us to live to thee. The light dweller, inaccessible to man and angels, hiding thyself behind the elements of creation, but known to us in Jesus. Possess our minds with the grandeur of thy perfections. Thy love to us in Jesus is firm and changeless. Nothing can separate us from it, and in the enjoyment of it nothing can make us miserable. Preserve us from hypocrisy and formality in religion. Enable us to remember what thou art and what we are, to recall thy holiness and our unworthiness. Help us to approach thee clothed with humility, for vanity, forwardness, insensibility, disorderly affection, backwardness to duty, proneness to evil are in our hearts. Let us never forget thy patience, wisdom, power, faithfulness, care, and never cease to respond to thy invitations. Amen. All right. Our morning devotion from Spurgeon's Morning and Evening. For today, for June 10th, the text is from Romans 14:8. We live unto the Lord. If God had willed it, each of us might have entered heaven at the moment of conversion. It was not absolutely necessary for our preparation for immortality that we should tarry here. It is possible for a man to be taken to heaven and to be found meet to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light, though he has but just believed in Jesus. It is true that our sanctification is a long and continued process, and we shall not be perfected till we lay aside our bodies and enter within the veil. But nevertheless, had the Lord so willed it, he might have changed us from imperfection to perfection and have taken us to heaven at once. Why then are we here? Would God keep his children out of paradise a single moment longer than was necessary? Why is the army of the living God still on the battlefield when one charge might give them the victory? Why are his children still wandering hither and thither through a maze, when a solitary word from his lips would bring them into the center of their hopes in heaven? The answer is, they are here that they may live unto the Lord, and may bring others to know his love. We remain on earth as sowers to scatter good seed, as plowmen to break up the fallow ground, as heralds publishing salvation. We are here as the salt of the earth, to be a blessing to the world. We are here to glorify Christ in our daily life. We are here as workers for him and as workers together with him. Let us see that our life answereth its end. Let us live earnest, useful, holy lives to the praise of the glory of his grace. Meanwhile, we long to be with him and daily see. My heart is with him on his throne, and ill can brook delay. Each moment listening for the voice, rise up and come away. All right, we're going to do our reading for the day. We're going to be reading 1 Kings 7, Acts 7, verses 30 through 50. I think that's the end of the chapter. Psalm 128, and then Proverbs 16, verses 31 through 33, which are the last three verses there. So 1 Kings 7. Now Solomon built his own house 13 years, and he completed all his house, and he built the house of the forest of Lebanon. Its length was 100 cubits, and its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits, on four rows of cedar pillars with cedar beams on the pillars. And it was paneled with cedar above the side chambers, which were on the 45 pillars, 15 in each row. Now there were artistic window frames in three rows, and window was opposite window in three ranks. And all the doorways and doorposts had squared artistic frames, and window was opposite window in three ranks. Then he made the hall of pillars. Its length was 50 cubits, and its width 30 cubits. And a porch was in front of them, and pillars and a threshold in front of them. And he made the hall of the throne where he was to judge, the hall of judgment. And it was paneled with cedar from floor to floor. Now his house where he was to live, the other court inward from the hall, was of the same workmanship. He also made a house like this hall for Pharaoh's daughter, whom Solomon had married. All these were of precious stones, of stone cut according to measure, sawed with saws, inside and outside, even from the foundation to the coping, and so on the outside to the great court. And the foundation was of precious stones, even large stones, stones of 10 cubits, and stones of 8 cubits. And above were precious stones, stone cut according to measure and cedar. So the great court all around had three rows of cut stone and a row of cedar beams, even as the inner court of the house of Yahweh and the porch of the house. Then King Solomon sent and brought Hiram from Tyre. He was a widow's son from the tribe of Naphtali, and his father was a man of Tyre, a worker in bronze, and he was filled with wisdom and discernment and knowledge to do any work in bronze. So he came to King Solomon and did all his work. And he fashioned the two pillars of bronze. 18 cubits was the height of one pillar, and a line of 12 cubits measured the circumference of both. He also made two capitals of molten bronze to set on the top of the pillars. The height of the one capital was 5 cubits, and the height of the other capital was 5 cubits. There were nets of network and twisted threads of chainwork for the capitals which were on the top of the pillars, 7 for the one capital and 7 for the other capital. So he made the pillars and two rows around on the one network to cover the capitals which were on the top of the pomegranates. And so he did for the other capital. Now the capitals which were on the top of the pillars and the porch were of lily design, 4 cubits. And there were capitals on the two pillars, even right above the rounded projection, which was on the one side of the network, and the pomegranates numbered 200 in rows around both capitals. Thus he set up the pillars at the porch of the nave. And he set up the right pillar and named it Jachin. And he set up the left pillar and named it Boaz. And on the top of the pillars was lily design. So the work of the pillars was finished. And he made the sea of cast metal, 10 cubits from brim to brim, circular in form, and its height was 5 cubits, and 30 cubits in its circumference. Now under its brim gourds went around, encircling it 10 to a cubit, entirely encircling the sea. The gourds were in two rows, cast with the sea when it was cast. It stood on 12 oxen, 3 facing north, 3 facing west, 3 facing south, and 3 facing east. And the sea was set on top of them, and all their rear parts turned inward. And it was a hand breadth thick, and its brim was made like the brim of a cup, as a lily blossom. It could hold 2,000 baths. Then he made the 10 stands of bronze. The length of each stand was 4 cubits, and its width 4 cubits, and its height 3 cubits. Now this was the workmanship of the stands. They had borders, even borders between the frames. And on the borders which were between the frames were lions, oxen, and cherubim. And on the frames there was a pedestal above, and beneath the lions and oxen were wreaths of hanging work. Now each stand had four bronze wheels with bronze axles, and its 4 feet had supports. Beneath the laver were cast supports with wreaths at each side. And its opening inside the capital at the top was a cubit, and its opening was round like the workmanship of a pedestal, a cubit and a half. And also on its opening there were engravings, and their borders were square, not round. And the 4 wheels were underneath the borders, and the axles of the wheels were on the stand, and on the height of a wheel was a cubit and a half. Now the workmanship of the wheels was like the workmanship of a chariot wheel. Their axles, their rims, their spokes, and their hubs were all cast. Now there were 4 supports at the 4 corners of each stand. Its supports were part of the stand itself. And on the top of the stand there was a circular form half a cubit high, and on the top of the stand its stays and its borders were part of it. And he engraved on the plates of its stays and on its borders cherubim, lions, and palm trees, according to the clear space on each with wreaths all around. He made the 10 stands like this, all of them had one casting, one measure, and one form. He also made 10 lavers of bronze. One laver held 40 baths. Each laver was 4 cubits, and on each of the 10 stands was 1 laver. Then he set the stands, 5 on the right side of the house and 5 on the left side of the house, and he set the sea of cast metal on the right side of the house eastward towards the south. And Hiram made the lavers and the shovels and the bowls. So Hiram completed doing all the work that he did for King Solomon in the house of Yahweh. The 2 pillars and the 2 bowls of the capitals, which were on the top of the 2 pillars, and the 2 networks to cover the 2 bowls of the capitals, which were on the top of the pillars, and the 400 pomegranates for the 2 networks, 2 rows of pomegranates for each network to cover the 2 bowls of the capitals, which were on the top of the pillars, and the 10 stands with the 10 lavers on the stands, and the 1 sea and the 12 oxen under the sea, and the pots and the shovels and the bowls, and all these utensils which Hiram made for King Solomon in the house of Yahweh were of polished bronze. On the plain of the Jordan the king cast them in the clay ground between Succoth and Zarethan. And Solomon left all the utensils unweighed, because they were too many. The weight of the bronze could not be found out. Solomon also made all the furniture which was in the house of Yahweh, the golden altar and the golden table on which was the bread of the presence, and the lampstands, 5 on the right side and 5 on the left, in front of the inner sanctuary, of pure gold, and the flowers and the lamps and the tongs of gold, and the cups and the snuffers and the bowls and the spoons and the fire pans of pure gold, and the hinges both for the doors of the inner house, the Holy of Holies, and for the doors of the house, that is, of the nave of gold. Thus all the work that King Solomon did in the house of Yahweh was finished. And Solomon brought in the things set apart as holy by his father David, the silver and the gold and the utensils, and he put them in the treasuries of the house of Yahweh. All right. Acts 7 verses 30 through 50. And after 40 years had passed, an angel appeared to him in the wilderness on Mount Sinai, in the flame of a burning bush. When Moses saw it, he was marveling at the sight, and as he approached to look more closely, there came the voice of the Lord, "I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob." Moses trembled with fear and would not dare to look. But the Lord said to him, "Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. I have surely seen the oppression of my people in Egypt, and have heard their groans, and I have come down to deliver them. Come now, and I will send you to Egypt." This Moses, whom they disowned, saying, "Who made you a ruler and a judge?" is the one whom God sent to be both a ruler and a deliverer, with the help of the angel who appeared to him in the bush. This man led them out, doing wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness for 40 years. This is the Moses who said to the sons of Israel, "God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers." This is the one who, in the congregation in the wilderness, was with the angel who was speaking to him on Mount Sinai, and with our fathers, the one who received living oracles to pass on to you. Our fathers were unwilling to be obedient to him, but rejected him, and in their hearts turned back to Egypt, saying to Aaron, "Make for us gods who will go before us. For this Moses who led us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." At that time they made a calf and brought a sacrifice to the idol, and were rejoicing in the works of their hands. But God turned away and delivered them up to serve the host of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets, 'Did you present me with slain beasts and sacrifices 40 years in the wilderness, O house of Israel? You also took along the tabernacle of Moloch and the star of the god of Rompha, the images which you made to worship. I also will remove you beyond Babylon.' Our fathers had the tabernacle of testimony in the wilderness, just as he who spoke to Moses directed him to make it according to the pattern which he had seen. And having received it in their turn, our fathers brought it with Joshua, when they dispossessed the nations whom God drove out before our fathers, until the time of David. David found favor in the sight of God and asked that he might find a dwelling place for the God of Jacob. But Solomon built a house for him. However, the Most High does not dwell in houses made by human hands, as the prophet says, 'Heaven is my throne, and earth is the footstool of my feet. What kind of house will you build for me, says the Lord, or what place is there for my rest? Was it not my hand which made all these things?'" All right, Psalm 128, A Song of Ascents. "How blessed is everyone who fears Yahweh, who walks in his ways. When you shall eat of the fruit of the labor of your hands, how blessed will you be, and how well will it be for you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the innermost parts of your house, your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, for thus shall the man be blessed who fears Yahweh. May Yahweh bless you from Zion, that you may see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Indeed, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel." And finally, Proverbs 16, verses 31 through 33. "Gray hair is a crown of beauty. It is found in the way of righteousness. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his own spirit than he who captures a city. The lot is cast into the lap, but its every judgment is from Yahweh." All right, that is our reading for the day. Let's go ahead and do the evening devotion. The text for it is from John 5:39. "They are they which testify of me." Jesus Christ is the Alpha and the Omega of the Bible. He is the constant theme of its sacred pages. From first to last, they testify of him. At the creation, we at once discern him as one of the sacred Trinity. We catch a glimpse of him in the promise of the woman's seed. We see him typified in the Ark of Noah. We walk with Abraham as he sees Messiah's day. We dwell in the tents of Isaac and Jacob, feeding upon the gracious promise. We hear the venerable Israel talking of Shiloh. And in the numerous types of the law, we find the Redeemer abundantly foreshadowed. Prophets and kings, priests and preachers, all look one way. They all stand as the cherubs did over the ark, desiring to look within and to read the mystery of God's great propitiation. Still more manifestly in the New Testament, we find our Lord the one pervading subject. It is not an ingot here and there, or dust of gold thinly scattered, but here you stand upon a solid floor of gold, for the whole substance of the New Testament is Jesus crucified, and even its closing sentence is bejeweled with the Redeemer's name. We should always read Scripture in this light. We should consider the Word to be as a mirror into which Christ looks down from heaven, and then we, looking into it, see his face reflected as in a glass. Darkly, it is true, but still in such a way as to be a blessed preparation for seeing him as we shall see him face to face. This volume contains Jesus Christ's letter to us, perfumed by his love. These pages are the garments of our King, and they all smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia. Scripture is the royal chariot in which Jesus rides, and it is paved with love for the daughters of Jerusalem. The Scriptures are the swaddling bands of the Holy Child, Jesus. Unroll them and you find your Savior. The quintessence of the Word of God is Christ. Amen. All right, well, thank you. That is our program for the day. I thank you for spending this time with me. I hope you have a wonderful day. I would continue to implore you to do all that you do for the glory of God. If your plans this weekend, I hope you have some good ones, but if your plans this weekend don't include worshiping with the saints, change them. You need to worship with the saints. You need to worship personally, not online, not watching a stream. You need to be there in person. So find yourself a place and go worship with them. All right. And again, and I hope to see you this evening. Let's go ahead and close in prayer, or tomorrow, I mean. Let's go ahead and close in prayer. We're going to close with the Lord's Day Eve prayer. Let's pray. God of the passing hour, another week has gone, and I have been preserved, and my going out and my coming in. Thine has been the vigilance that has turned threatened evils aside. Thine the supplies that have nourished me. Thine the comforts that have indulged me. Thine the relations and friends that have delighted me. Thine the means of grace which have edified me. Thine the book, which amidst all my enjoyments has told me that this is not my rest, that in all successes one thing alone is needful to love my Savior. Nothing can equal the number of thy mercies, but my imperfections and sins. These, O God, I will neither conceal nor palliate, but confess with a broken heart. In what condition would secret reviews of my life leave me, were it not for the assurance that with thee there is plenteous redemption, that thou art a forgiving God, that thou mayest be feared. While I hope for pardon through the blood of the cross, I pray to be clothed with humility, to be quickened in thy way, to be more devoted to thee, to keep the end of my life in view, to be cured of the folly of delay and indecision, to know how frail I am, to number my days, and apply my heart unto wisdom. Amen. All right, again, I hope you have a wonderful day, and I hope to see you tomorrow. Have a good one. God bless.